You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule.
Hi, this is Chrissy from the Final Fantasy XIV podcast, Wondrous Tales. Come hang out with us every other Monday for a casual discussion of what's going on in the community and some tips to improve your in-game quality of life.
Hey everyone, this is Nick. I just want to give you a heads up that this episode was originally recorded before BlizzCon. And we thought it was going to be episode number 55, but then we were able to swing that awesome interview with Frosty and Kaz last week. So disregard my numbering during the upcoming intro. This is episode 56, not 55. Just bear in mind that even as I record this bumper, BlizzCon has not happened yet. So I don't know how much of what we're about to say about Zaldazar was retconned, or what we find out, if the entire island of Zandalar is a giant old god or something. I don't know. So bearing that in mind, please enjoy the rest of the episode, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Hello, and welcome to the Torn and the Goblin, the Mash Those Buttons podcast about Warcraft story and lore. My name is Nick Zelenkevich, and I'm Gragthar Torn Hunter on Skywall US.
And I'm Katie, Clanker Goblin Resto Shaman on Dalaran US.
And today is October 21st, 2018. We're recording a little bit later than usual. Apologies to everyone, especially anyone in the chat room who got stuck. I mean, not apologies, you got stuck watching Jarrett play Overwatch, but you know, apologies that we weren't quite ready as soon as we thought we'd be, but life happens here. But we're here now. We're ready to record. This episode should hopefully go up Tuesday the 23rd, I think is the date. And this is episode number 55. And if I'm not mistaken, we're gonna do it this time. We're going to talk about Zaldazar.
Yes, I'm so excited.
So
best zone. Just throwing that out there. I've gotten through most of Nazmir, so I feel like I can almost safely say that. Also, although I'm pretty sure I'm going to love the rest of Nazmir because it's really spoopy.
I don't know.
Do social media.
I don't know.
All right, fine. Well, once we'll actually get to all three zones this time on like Por Suramar, and then we'll have
a. Oh, no,
we'll
it's not a, three. It's six. We got to get to six.
Yeah, I know, but okay. All right, you're right. But let's try the three first, because let's just start small, because we don't want to keep forgetting Suramar.
All right. So, I want to say no Nazmir. I think it was Nazmir that I like more.
Nazmir is pretty cool. Like it's very spooky. It's very creepy. It's a real Halloween vibe to it. Cannibal trolls, man. Creepy.
Nazmir does that thing that I'm a sucker for, where you meet a bunch of people and you help them as you go around questing. I mean, that's every zone. You meet a bunch of people, you help them. But the zones where like it pulls everybody in at the end and you have that united effort against like a main big bad.
Ooh. See, I haven't completely finished. Like I've gotten all the way to Torga and everyone was like, oh my god, they killed the turtle. And I was like, yeah. Cause like that was pre-spoiled. Cause if you look at the map, you're like, why does it look like a giant turtle skeleton on the map? That doesn't look good.
Yeah, I saw somebody say something on Twitter about like, oh man, Torga. And then I looked on the map and I'm like, oh, okay, this clearly is not gonna go well.
Right.
But well, at this point, I feel like the game's been out over 2 months now, that the starting zones should not be spoiled. Although you're technically still working through it. So, I mean, if anybody's going to get spoiled, it's you. I feel like you are very much the tail end of where everybody is.
I hope so.
Yeah. Because I know you've had a lot of stuff going on in your life and you haven't had a lot of time to play these last few months. And so I think that's one of the big issues with Battle for Azeroth is the people who played a lot ran through the content real quickly. The people who, you know, who had a, you know, not had a life, but, you know, the people who just didn't have time to play. Right. I feel like we in some ways we were a little bit luckier. We didn't get to that. Oh, now what move? I mean, on my Torn Hunter, I'm like this close to getting exalted, like to start knocking out the reputations. And I feel like once I do that, I'm not going to have anything else to do. And I'm looking forward to that though, because that's when I move on to my alts. I still have my Demon Hunter. I want to level from Legion that I didn't get to in that expansion. So it sounds dumb. I'm actually hoping there's less content in BFA that I can go back and do that. But I can see I know Ian had said before that they felt like they got 7.1 out too quickly, and I remember some of the other expansions, Mists, where like the 0.1 was on the PTR like almost immediately after launch, and I think they slow rolled it this time, which makes sense given how things played out last time, but I think they slow rolled it too much.
But I don't know. I think it's like, to me, I'm like, oh, phew, thank goodness it didn't go so fast this time. But I'm like, I understand for other people. My big thing that I don't want them to come out with yet, because I haven't gotten it, is the Zandalari. Like, I don't want the Zandalari to come out, and they said they're not going to come out right at 8-1. So I'm like, phew, like, I still have time to grind to Exalted with the Zandalari, which are the ones that matter the most to me, because I need to, like, I have at least 5 Zandalari trolls planned now. I'm like, God. Really? Really me? I'm like, ah, yes, you know what? I need a Zandalari outcast that for Akunda and one for Jani and one for, you know, like every single Loa feasibly out there. I'm like, oh, Katie, no. Just Katie, no. Just focus on all 50 characters that you have so you don't have to keep deleting more. But, yep.
Yeah. Katie, no.
Katie, no. Katie is an altaholic, people. So you have no life.
With all of that said, because we're doing that thing we do where we get way off topic.
Yes, way off topic is.
Well, before we start, is there anything else you want to talk about? What you've been doing in game or anything, or you just want to? Because what you've been doing in game is playing Zandalar, if I'm not mistaken.
I did get to 120. A clanker has made it to the water, so you will all be very proud of me. I got to 120. I don't think we had said that last time I was here, but I've gotten most of the way through Nazmir. I finished Voldoon. I'm loving everything so far. I've actually made it over to Kul Tiras. I've kind of run around and almost got ganked by guards over there at one point because I got a little too friendly. But yeah, no, I'm loving it. I've finally gotten to the 120 game, and I'm now grinding Zul'Dazar rep. So it's going well. It's great, and I'm having a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to meeting the last Loa Kragwa. Kragwa, excuse me, the frog. So he's the last one I haven't encountered yet.
And I love Bonsamdi. He's fun. He's a fun one.
I am loving Bonsamdi. He's great. Yeah. I would never change him.
Yeah, but not all the Loa in Nazmir are fun. Kragwa is a fun one.
Okay, that's good to know. Because I think it's the bat?
Harik.
Harik, thank you. That guy was, like, you see his model and it's all full of blood and stuff. I'm like, he definitely went to the blood trolls. Like, there's no way he should have that much blood on him. Anyway.
Yeah,
We'll get to Nazmir someday, I hope.
Yeah, Harik is a downer. Torga is a downer. Kragwa, he's an upper.
Upper? Bonsamdi? I would definitely put him as
Bonsamdi's just Bonsamdi. There's just... Dude, there is no comparison.
I'm sorry. One more little off-topic comment. I died at one point in Nazmir. I don't remember why. I'm playing as a healer, so I'm doing healer plus DPSing at the same time. I don't always make it. But I died at one point. And I got resurrected, and I come in, I'm just looking at Bonsamdi, he's fishing. He's just sitting there fishing in a river. I'm like, what are you fishing? We're in the spirit world. Like, are there spirit fish? Like, what are you doing, man? Like, he's just like, yeah. Then you came to visit old Bonsamdi. And I'm like, but what are you doing? You're fishing. But you can't be fishing, because there's no spirits here. I don't know. Maybe he's just bored. How do you get a fishing pole in the spirit realm? You know what? I shouldn't even ask these questions, but those are all the questions I was
there
asking.
There are troll fishermen. So yeah. When they pass, I'm sure they bring their fishing poles.
So I guess if you die as a troll, like you have your belongings with you. Well, one zombie's like, hey, I'm going to confiscate this at the gate.
Well, when you roll your 5 Zandalari trolls, see what happens if you equip a fishing pole and die.
I guess one zombie takes it and goes fishing.
You got the fishing pole from Johnny. He just all Loa serve at the trash of Johnny.
Oh my gosh, the trash Loa is the best Loa.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So we should probably talk about Zul'Dazar now.
Yes,
because it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, let's see here, because we left off.
Yeah.
Many moons ago, you free Talanji from jail. You travel with her. She blows up the Alliance ships, except for one to go back, which I didn't realize how important that detail would be until I played the Alliance side.
Oh, really? Okay, because I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. Well, no, because the Alliance side, they actually get to see the they get to see part of the cinematic, not the whole thing.
Okay.
But they get to see part of it, because basically you find one of the survivors, and as you're interrogating them, Stuff. I think it's one of the survivors. Yeah, you find one of the survivors, and they're like, "This is what happened," and then you actually see like part of the cinematic. Yeah. So I'm like, well, that's kind of cheap, because at no point playing through the Alliance or the Horde stuff,
I get
the chance to see any of the Alliance side cinematics. So, yeah. Once again, the Horde gets screwed.
Clearly,
you know, this is clearly an Alliance preference expansion. They get an updated model for Teldrassil. We don't get anything.
Yeah, well, we get an updated model for Lordaeron. No,
we just get some blight around Lordaeron. They have a whole new skybox in Darkshore.
Yeah,
we didn't get anything.
They hate us.
Yeah, this is the Alliance bias is terrible.
The worst. We are deprived children.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
Now that we have our Alliance fans appropriately raging at us. Well,
now that we have our tongue firmly in our cheek.
Yes. that is a good way to put it.
Yes. So Talanji brings us into D'Zara lore, and we get to, you know, work our way up the steps in our introduction to the city. And I think we talked about the D'Zara lore and its layout last time, if I'm not mistaken, about how it's just this massive pyramid, and it's really well structured. And what's impressive to me too is that there's parts of the pyramid that are hostile. Like there's one part where you actually go off to the side, and like there's one side tier, mm-hmm. and you have some quests to do there, and like it's massive. It's just massive, and
yeah, it's really well done. Like I like the fact that. There are parts of the city in which, like, Alliance players can come in and not be flagged, and it's just massive enough that it's basically a small zone is what it is, but it's not all, it's like Durotar, sort of, in a way, where it's like, you have Orgrimmar, which is actually the Horde-flagged area, but then there's the rest of Durotar that you can run around in as, like, an Alliance player, and you won't be flagged, and it's funny, because D'Zara lore is like that in a lot of ways, where there are actually, like, separate parts to the small zone, and then there's the actual, like, Horde section of it. But I know that there are Alliance players that come and have to do quests where they kill, like, one or two NPCs that are quest NPCs that they have to do for, like, world quests or whatever. And my friend saw one running around in the port, and she's like, how is this Alliance player not flagged? He's in the port! And it turns out that they can go into the port and they won't be flagged, at least in some ports. So. Interesting, right? So it's huge. It's really big, and it feels as big as it is.
Yes. So you go in and you get your little quests initially to kind of introduce you to the area. You meet King Rastakhan, head of the Zandalari trolls, and he's got some advisors that you meet there. Well, you've already met Zol. Like, he's the most prominent of the advisors that he has. I guess Zol is the head of the Zamchuli Council.
I believe so. Like because there's quite a few members of the Zamchuli Council, and I believe we don't meet all of them. So
I feel like we meet the important ones.
I think so, because the ones that I think most people would recognize off the bat are Zol, and then I'm trying to remember what the
there's Yasma.
Yasma, or yeah, because I always think it's Yzma. I'm like Yasma, right? Not Yzma. Emperor's New Groove. Anyway, but there's also two other people that are part of the Zanchuli Council that I believe they are anyway, is War Druid Loti and Hex Lord Rahl. I believe they're also part of the council.
Yes. But I think they're like lower level members.
They're actually very important, apparently. They're they are the main kind of instigators of followers of Paku, the pterodactyl sky Loa, and Gonk, which is the druid Loa. And I think I might have mentioned them before, but the funny, interesting little gem between those two characters is they're actually married, but you go questing with them throughout different zones, and you find out that they kind of not hate each other, but there's history that we don't know about, and it's pretty hilarious. Like, at one point, I don't know why, but Loti's like, you fight like your sister. And Rahl goes, you are still not allowed to mention my sister. And I'm like, wait, hold on. What happened here? Like, I want to hear the story.
I missed that part.
Yeah, it's just like this little, the only reason that you know that they're married is I like to click every NPC way too many times. And you, if you click Raoul too many times, he's like, ah, I wish my wife gave me this much attention. I was like, excuse you? And then Loti says something to the effect of, like, oh, yes, my husband is good for nothing. Like, but they actually, like, name drop each other. And you're like, oh, these two are married to each other. And the reason that that is important is it kind of their marriage and their lack thereof actually has caused some division between the followers of Paku and Gonk. So when you're running around, people are like, oh, you dirty druid Gonk followers belong in the ground and in the mud where, you know, where you are. And they're like, oh, these stupid airheads, the Paku followers don't know anything. And it's actually supposedly a derivative of them, those two not liking each other anymore, which is, I'm like, I just want to fix your marriage so everyone gets along.
Yeah, see, I thought that was just like harmless, like, you know, like intermarital sniping, like, you know, like all couples do that. Like, it didn't mean anything. But if there's something happened with her sister, that's,
I don't know. Like, that's one of those.
That's concerning. I thought they were a lot. It was one of those things like, oh, yeah, they're sniping, but they're good. But maybe they're not good. Maybe.
And I don't know. Like, it apparently, this is me because I went way too far because I was like, I got interested. I was like, wait a minute. So they're married. And I kind of knew that. Like, I wasn't sure what was going on here. Apparently in the beta, they were divorced, but they're not anymore. So I'm like, okay, so that's interesting. They kind of changed the narrative a little bit, but just gems that people might have missed. I love those two characters. I absolutely love their banter and bickering, and it's very funny. So if you haven't gone and pestered either of them, please do. It's great. Or go listen to it on Wowhead. It's also funny, but it's better to poke them in person. It feels better.
It's always better to poke somebody in person.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, so I apologize. They are also part of the Zanchuli Council, I believe.
Yes.
And I'm very much hoping that they won't be in trouble come 8-1, because I believe the Zanchuli Council is something that people have to fight in 8-1.
Well, yeah. I don't know. We'll have to find out exactly how that all works. And even then, who's left on the Zanchuli Council? Because after you get your little tour of the temple and the great seal where which is kind of like the main base where you can set your hearth, and you know, you have the bank there and not even your mission table, Bane. You have Bane and the banker there. That's really it. Because Dazar'a lore is not laid out as well as Borealis, as far as with everything in Dazar'a lore is like down by the docks, really. And if you're Horde, you really want to set your hearthstone down by the docks, because
it's a short flight, though. It's really short.
It is, but it's more than you have to do for Borealis, because in Borealis, everything's like right in one area.
You're just, I don't boom, know. Boom, boom. I actually like that it's two separate areas, because then you have to move around the city. I know a lot of people don't share this opinion, but it's like the opposite of the garrisons where I'm like, oh, I actually, or it's like Orgrimmar, where you actually have to run around to different parts of Orgrimmar to go see things or whatever. When we have flying, it won't feel as significant that we have to fly down to the docks. But I like that it's actually at the docks instead of like, oh, here's a war table all the way up here, but you don't actually need to go to the docks.
And see, you just dinged 120. So wait till you're going to your war table a lot more often and you're like, oh, like I have to fly down here.
I have the mobile app. I can deal.
It's not the same.
It's true. It's not the same. I'm okay with it, though. I like running around.
No, but anyway, so you're in the Great Seal and you talk to Talanji and she gives you sort of the brief outline of what the three main storylines are going to be that you're going to hit in Zandalar. She talks about General Jukrazet over in Vol'dun. She talks about the Blood Troll incursion that's coming from Nazmir. And then she talks about the Zanchuli Council and how she's been trying to alert her father that things are not good, that he needs to really kind of like step up and pay attention to the Blood Troll threat that is really imminent. And he's distracted by the council and he doesn't really seem to care too much. And she's like, you know, basically she tells you, like, you know, to take care of these people, like, you know, ingratiate yourself into in with the council, in with my father, find out what's going on with these people, and then get Rastakhan to come to his senses and, you know, take charge of things here, because he's really kind of laid back and letting things happen. And that's your charge. That's where you get to go. You talk to Zul a little bit, and then I think Zul sends you down towards the docks to start talking to some of the Zanchuli Council down there. Specifically, Yasma's there with what's his name? The big troll guy in in the one dungeon that like Volcar or something.
I totally know him. And then he's like, even if you kill me, she will just put me back together again. And you're like, no, not this time, buddy. I'm sorry. Also gross, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, because you start off, it's I think she actually tells you, like, go to some of my operatives and just pass them this message. And the message is basically like, it's time to move.
Yeah, and you're like,
yeah, that's a little awkward. Like, what? Like, and what? Like, so you're kind of helping the opposition at this point because you don't realize what's going on. But yeah, then
it's uncomfortable. That's for sure.
Yeah. But you wind up tracking Yasma. What is it? It's well, no, actually, no, she doesn't. When, because she's the main boss of Ataldazor?
Yeah, I believe yes. So. I think Ataldazor is Razan's. No, it's not Razan's temple, but it's like the main, supposed to be like a main temple of worship of the Loa or something like that. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was.
It's not King's Rest. That's a separate dungeon.
Right. But it's interesting because you don't see, I think you see Yasma slightly later, because I believe she's over kind of by the druids area. I'm trying to remember because I'm not sure I did this in like in a straight order, because I did a lot of the side quests too. But I guess the kind of main part is that you go exploring around Zuldazar and you start to find that there, a lot of things aren't as great as you're hoping. Like a lot of the Loa temples are under siege. A lot of some of the other temples are, I don't know, not being corrupted. I think Shadra's temple, you get there too late.
Yes.
And she is already gone. Well, she is, I don't know if we want to jump that gun, but she gets absorbed by Yasma, essentially. Right. Well, which brings about a lot of questions in my mind about, is she gone? Is Shadra gone forever now because her soul has been absorbed? Like, can she reform as a Loa? Like, how does that work?
I'm pretty sure she's gone forever because after Yasma consumes Shadra, Loti actually references Zoldrak, which is one of those things that, and I think even Zol, when he makes his great speech, he talks about how, you know, traveling the world, he learned all these things. And one of the things he references is his work with the Faraki up in, or the Drakari, rather.
Yeah, Drakari.
The Drakari, which, I mean, if you remember that zone, it was just one, again, one of those things where you love the troll architecture. I mean, that zone, it was just one massive tier after another. And you just keep ascending and climbing up. And every time you climb up, you find a different Loa that's in trouble because its people are trying to consume it, basically.
Right.
And again, that's another zone that's just full of disappointment because you just wind up watching. I forget which Loa it is. The one of them that like blows itself up to just take everybody out. I think it's the Rhino Loa.
I was gonna say, I think it was the Rhino Loa that he's like, nope, you're not taking me. Yeah. I think they do kind of take his essence though somehow, because in the dungeon they have someone that has the aspect of the Rhino. So. Ugh, yeah, trolls and consuming Loa. I'm like, please don't do that. It's so depressing.
Well, I think that's sort of the great problem that the trolls face is that, I mean, ostensibly their society is built around, you know, them worshiping all these various wild gods, the Loa, to sort of establish their power level. But then, like, once somebody in there realizes, hey, wait a minute, like, we can take this power for ourselves, then there's always that sort of, like, dark part of their culture. Mm-hmm. That they can't fully banish it because it's knowledge and you can't, I mean, I guess you can eradicate knowledge, but the problem is that like they never fully do, like, you know, somebody always remembers the story. Somebody always remembers the legend there's always, you know, evidence that people find like, oh, hey, we can consume these Loa to get this power. And then, you know, it always crops up and then that's kind of, well, I mean, it's not really the same thing with the blood trolls. The blood trolls are a whole different entity. And was it Matt Rossi over at Blizzard Watch had a great article that was speculation trying to connect the whole like Gahoon thing to Hakkar, who's been missing from all of this,
yeah,
and try to piece it all together. There's a great piece over at Blizzard Watch I'd recommend checking out, where he theorizes about that. But
because that's the other thing that was interesting to me is Hakkar is also the Blood God, so there right. are there's more than one supposedly, and like it's yeah. So I'll have to read that article because that sounds really good, because I've been kind of wondering about that as well.
And there's been, and I think it's one of those complaints, and rightly so, that it feels like why did they put Gahoon in when they could have used Hakkar? And
although Gahoon is different, is not a, like, I don't think Hakkar, and I could be wrong, but as far as I understand, Hakkar actually is a wild god, where Gahoon is not. Gahoon is a old god creation. So they're kind of on different playing fields. And I think, as far as I understand, we've put Hakkar down for a while. Like, I think they could have resurrected Hakkar again, but I think it's one of those things where Hakkar's avatar either hasn't been resurrected, or I don't know if the Blood Trolls, like the Blood Trolls are being, sorry, we're getting off a little bit of a tangent, I guess, but the Blood Trolls are actually worshiping old gods, not Loa. And I think that would be the key difference between the two, as far as I understand. Well, now, if Hakkar gave himself to the old gods, I'm not really sure if he has or not, but I can see that being a connection.
I don't think we specifically know what Hakkar is.
Okay. I thought that I was under the impression that he was like a serpent wild god.
Well, he's it's one of those things, like he's a Loa in the same way that like it's like the majority of the Loa makes sense. They're wild gods, they're animals. That makes sense. But like you look at Bwan Sombdi, it's like, well, as being the Loa of death, and we talked about this before, like what is he like?
He looks like a troll, but he's not a troll.
It's not clearly defined, and I think it's the same issue with Hakkar, that presumably he is or was a wild god type thing, but we don't know that for certain. Whereas with Gahoon, we know very specifically what his origin was, that he was created, you know, as an old god experiment by the Titans. So with that in mind, you can start to try to put the pieces together, because it's one of those things where, depending on what your faith in the Blizzard storytelling at this point is, either they intentionally ignored Hakkar, or they've manipulated the lore in a way where we don't have the full story. We're only seeing part of it, and we're trying to put pieces together that don't all seem to make sense at this point. And at some point it'll all come together, you know, who knows? So we'll see how that all fits out. But, where were we? Yasma consuming Shadra. I think that's when we got way off topic there.
So, usually is.
So what else in the zone before we come back? Because you wind up, you go down, you talk to Yasma, and then you kind of wind up like following the Zan-Chuli Council until you realize like, oh, hey, like these guys are actually, they're not just interfering in politics. Like they're actually bad.
Staging a coup, like womp womp, like real bad.
Yeah. And then you wind up like hurrying back to Warren Rostikon, and you don't get there in time.
Yeah, so I believe like I'm trying to remember, because you fly in with, I want to say like Rahl or someone, and because that's how you see it happen, because Rostikon's all like, what is going on? He's like, oh my gosh, all my guards have been murdered. Like, this is really bad. Like, bad news bears. And he gets stabbed in the back. He turns around. He's like, what the? Like,
well, because he's walking up. It's a fun little cinematic. Like, he's walking up the steps with, like, Zol behind him. And he's, like, surveying the damage. Like, what just happened? And then that's when Zol just takes out the knife and just hits him.
I know. Oh my gosh. I made a pterodactyl noise. I was like, no. I mean, if anyone's been listening to me for the last, like, 2 months, Rostikon is like my favorite bro, and I was like, don't you dare. Like, I was fully expecting him to be muerto forever, but this is where this, like, okay, when I started playing this quest line, it was at least 2 a.m. I wound up staying to like up to like 6 a.m. because I couldn't get enough of this quest line because it was so good at this point. So what happens next is something I actually didn't expect. So
I just want to point out here real quickly that we had Rostikon who got backstabbed, and we got Vol'jin and Mist who got backstabbed. So even in Legion, he got backstabbed, and that's what killed him. So I just think trolls are like vulnerable to backstab.
Yeah, they must have like, it must be like plus 20 to crit if you stab them in the back. I don't know how you sneak up on someone with ears that big. Like, their ears are huge. I'm like, you'd think they'd be able to hear something coming, but maybe not. I don't know.
Anyway, so you stayed up super late, you were playing, and you made a pterodon noise.
I did. I made a pterodactyl screech because they stabbed Rastakhan. I'm like, I mean, honestly, when I first met Rastakhan, I was like, oh man, this guy's gonna die. Like, because he's like so complacent. And he's like, things are good, man. I'm like, no, they're really bad. Like, this is, like, you could just like feel it when you walk into the city.
Plus, as like I've mentioned before, like, they've set up his daughter to replace him. Like, Talanji is so obviously going to be leading the Zandalari at some point, and not just in the general sense, like, he's grooming her. Like, no, like, this storyline is written for her to take over. I'm like, oh, okay, so they kill him now. Now she's going to take over, and we're good going forward.
That's what I thought. Yes, and I was pleasantly surprised, because what happens is, I believe it's Hexlord Rahl actually calls Paku. Like, the actual Loa comes and saves Rastakhan. Like, she grabs him and you, and I think actually Rahl, like, she grabs another person as well, and that you all fly off, and Zul's just like, stupid Loa, like, we'll get you later. The king's basically dead, and we don't care. Hoity, hoity, toity, toity. And it's really cool. So you go to this tiny little village in the middle of nowhere, and I feel bad because the name escapes me, but it's the king's like best healer. He's like, oh my gosh, like, there's something wrong. Like, I should be able to close this wound, but the wound is not knitting. He's bleeding out. There's poison. Like, I don't know how to fix this. It's going in a bad direction. Try and get me these ingredients. I might be able to save him. So you end up gathering all the ingredients, and he does like a grade A effort. Like, he, I don't remember. He does like some voodoo, and he's like, oh man, like, there's like the dagger that he was stabbed with, Rastakhan was stabbed with, is cursed. And so he's like, oh, and she's like, okay, the king's soul is leaving his body. And this guy's like sweating bullets. Like, I kind of feel bad for this healer. He's like, oh my God, the king's dying. It's all my fault and I can't save him. And so the next part of the story is probably the best.
Well, wait, but before you get to that, though, I just want to point out again, like, this feels a lot like what happened with Vol'jin in Mists, because yes. In Mists, like, you know, Vol'jin's in the cave with you, and then the orc stabs him, and then you take Vol'jin back, and he's unconscious, and then you're in a hut in Pandaria with Chen, and Chen's like, okay, like, these are the ingredients we need to start getting him to heal, because, you know, he's the special poison, it's negating his
healing abilities, his regeneration.
His regeneration, yes. And so it's the same thing. Like, you go out and you do these quests to get all these herbs and stuff, and then you come back, and then, you know, Chen does his magic, just like the priest there does his magic to start to recover the body. And then with Vol'jin, he wakes up and then he tells you, like, okay, like, let's pretend I'm dead and let's go into the whole coup thing and taking down Garrosh. Whereas here, instead, you get the body fixed, but then the soul is missing.
Right. And this is kind of the best part. So I love this part. So the healer's like, so, hero, I need you to go and go talk to, cause he's like, okay, so the soul has been taken. He's like, well, so here's how it's going to go. The Loa of Death has the king's soul, and you need to go get a more powerful Loa. Not more powerful, but you need to go get the king's Loa to convince the Loa of Death to let his soul go. But I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it because I don't want to talk to Razan. And you're like, I'm sorry, excuse me? And you're like, yeah, no, you go talk to the king's Loa and I'll sit here. By the way, good luck. If he doesn't like you, he'll eat you. And you're like, oh, is that all? Okay, so I get to talk to, I think they actually call him like the God Loa or the Loa of Kings and Queens. So for those of you that either haven't seen Razan or have only seen him in the dungeon, Razan is this beautiful gilded devil sword. He's massive. Like, my character doesn't even come up to his toe. Like, and I mean, Clanker's a goblin, but he is immense in every sense of the world. When you go into the spirit realm, he is very big Loa, and they definitely give you that impression. He's big in every sense of the word, like pomp and circumstance. And so this is why I stayed up till 6 a.m, because I got really excited. So you go and meet Razan, and he's like, what do you want, puny thing? And you're like, so Razan, I have some bad news. Don't know quite how to tell you this, but it's like, the king's dead. And he's like, oh, is he? And I'm like, yeah, king cacked it. We kind of need your help to get his soul back, because we like the king. His body, we fixed his body, but somebody has a vendetta against him, so we need your help. So Razan, this is probably my favorite part of all of the zones so far. He lets out this amazing roar, right, and just resounds around the spirit realm. He goes, Bon Somdi! And I was like, oh boy, like it's basically it's a Loa off right here. I'm like, oh boy, like you're sitting here as this mortal, like, oh, I don't even feel like I should be able to gaze upon this interaction. But Razan is like Blan Somni, like, you have something that belongs to me. I demand you give it back. And Blan Somni's like, oh, eh, you giant lizard man. Like, this is mine now. Ha 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 ha. And he's like, you will know your place. And I was like, the second Razan said that, I'm like, oh, this is going to come back to bite him so badly. But Razan, I guess, is technically higher in the food chain, he thinks, at least, than Blan Somni. Which is interesting because we find out in Nazmir that Blan Somni gets Loa souls. So I'm not really sure how that works, because, like, you know, when Torga dies, Blan Somni has Torga's soul. So I'm like, so when Razan dies, but he probably, hypothetically, he would have. But anyway, so Razan convinces Blan Somni to give him Rastakhan's soul, which is pretty awesome, to be fair. But Blan Somni, of course, has to have the last little laugh where he's like, don't forget, like, everyone dies. And I'm like, oh, like, this is, we're in so much trouble right now. Well,
it's not even that. He openly says, be seeing you soon, Mon.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, that's not, like, when Blan Somni says he'll see, like, it's not like he's coming over for tea. Like, no.
I mean, to be fair, he says that to your character too. He's like, I'd be seeing ya. And I'm like, oh, well, please don't tell me that.
But you also know that you're going to die like 100 times in the next month anyway. So
it's true.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. Like,
it's
no,
not
like
quite
that's
the same. No, this was much more foreshadowing than when he says it to your character. But it is. I want to just take a second. It's interesting to think about what Blan Somni thinks of as soon, because I don't know that he has a good grasp on the flow of time. Right? He's like, oh, I'll be seeing you soon, but soon could be like 50 years. He's like, it's
Blizzard soon.
Yeah, it's Blizzard soon. Blan Somni is Blizzard soon. You've seen it. See it here first, guys, or heard it here first, I guess.
Well, the thing, though, about that is that, like, on the one hand, you're right. Like, I mean, he could have just been talking in the long term. Like you are effectively mortal. And, like, at some point as a Loa, you will die and be replaced. And, you know, your soul will come to me. I mean, he could have meant it in that sense. But I would think that it's the kind of thing where, again, we don't know who Blan Somni's boss is. And so it's one of those things where, like, what does and doesn't Blan Somni know? Like, is he, like, what exactly is his knowledge limited to? And it may be that he had some sense of, well, didn't he say something to like Razan, like, you stink of death or something? Or, like, you didn't he make a comment that he smelled a little bit off? Or maybe it was Rastakhan who smelled of death. I can't remember.
I don't. Yeah, I want to say that it might have been Rastakhan he was talking to. But don't forget, like, the moment Razan, this is skipping ahead a little bit. We'll get there in a minute. Yeah. So basically, we'll come back to this because I have so many thoughts about Blan Somni and Loa and, like, Loa and their children and creating new Loas. And, oh gosh, you guys, like, this has been my life for, like, weeks. But, so anyway, so you finally get Rastakhan's soul back and you bring him back to life. And I'm like, okay, me and the king have got to be in real good right now. Because I'm like, I went into the spirit realm. I talked to a Loa whose toe is bigger than I am. And then we also yelled at the Loa of death. And now you're alive again. You're welcome. Like, if you don't send me a, like, I don't know, a card, a thank you card or something, I'm going to be real upset. So that was pretty cool. So that was, like, one of the coolest parts, I think, of the story. So Rastakhan kind of comes back around, but he's very weak. And then, of course, not like a quest and a half later, the council is already after you. They have sent, like, assassins to try and finish the job. And so you have to get out of there again.
Yeah.
And I believe we actually go, at this point, we go to Razan's temple because we're like, we need to go and hang out with Razan himself because he can protect us. He's strong enough that he can give us some sort of shelter from all these terrible people. And I believe once you actually get there, you find that his temple is under attack as well. Oh, actually, no, I recall this. So, sorry, when you're in the fishing village, you hear Razan cry out, and you're like, oh, crap, we need to go to the temple right now, because Razan's temple is under attack. So what's really cool about Zul and Shadra is they've been planning this forever. They have attacked multiple sites of Loa all at the same time. So it's just a huge cluster. And it kind of sends the entirety of like Zara lore, all of the guards, like any of the ruling parties, it kind of sends them into chaos because it's not just one place that's being attacked. It's all these simultaneous attacks that are really interrupting the, well, any sort of ruling party. So,
well, that's, you know, this goes back to the like previous discussions that we've had about like how large some of these forces are, because you look at like the Zandalar and it's like basically they're having an open civil war. Like this is a straight up like a coup or a rebellion that, you know, you have the Zanchuli Council like trying to, you know, take over, you know, Zul specifically trying to take over, you know, to take Rostakhan's spot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it's not just like, oh, hey, like this was a small group. Like, no, like this was a massive chunk of the Zandalari population that was allied with the Zanchuli that is executing this plan. And so I think it works out only in the sense that like we had to help get Zul back to Zandalar. I'm guessing that's what really is why you wind up telling Yasma, or Yasma tells everybody like, oh, it's time to move now. You know, let's go on with the plan here.
Yeah.
But it just works out that we happen to be there for all of this to happen, that if Zul had come back on his own without us there, then there's nobody to, you know, because Talanji was struggling to, you know, get her father to see what's going on. There's nobody in place to really prevent or do anything with the rebellion. And you have to figure that the Zanchuli would have won. And then, you know, that's one more piece that leads to Gahoon just taking over the whole island.
Right. Which is kind of incredible to think about. Like, in some ways, I'm a little surprised that they moved while the Horde was there, but they must have just thought that either we wouldn't be as invested or we just wouldn't have the numbers. I mean,
outside of the Dread Guard that take up, you know, that take over the guard spots around the top tier, I really don't feel like we're that big a force. I mean, we're really like just the two ships?
Yeah, but I'm like, okay. So Zul was the one that resurrected the Thunder King, right? So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, Zul, you've watched us take down the Thunder King. And you're like, oh yeah, it's just a couple of Horde people. I'm like, The Horde would breed a little bit of fear in my heart if I was planning a rebellion. And I'm like, oh yeah, but they also like completely deposed an entire thing of like my army of undead Mogu.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, like, one, it was like the sort of a combined effort between the Alliance and the Horde, although not really, but
it was combined insofar as we were standing shoulder to shoulder, murdering murdering a force that was more important than each other for the moment.
It was combined only in the sense that, like, Taran Zhu was standing there, like, making sure that we didn't, you know, ready to smack us if we acted out of line.
Pretty much. Like, you know, those, like, the shirt that has like they put kids in one shirt and it's like the work together shirt. I feel like that's what Taran Zhu did to the Alliance in the Horde.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that also it wasn't Zul directly who, like, we didn't actually encounter Zul. It was just his forces. You're right, it was the Thunder King, but at the same time I feel like Zul would have looked down on the Thunder King as much as he resurrected him. It's like, oh, well, that didn't work. Like, that's because he was kind of an idiot anyway. He deserved to die the first time. That, like, I feel like Zul would have, you know, at this point, he was very much the fine, I'll do it myself.
True.
And, you know, and I think that, and that's what we wind up seeing that he does is, you know, he stabs Rostakhan and he starts the fall on incursion.
So it's one of those things. Okay, so I have to get this kind of off my mind here, because the second I see Zul, like, I couldn't remember who he was at first. I'm like, God, like when I saw him on the boat, I'm like, Zul, where do I remember that name from? Like, I know that name. I don't remember where he's from. I'm like, man, like, he just looks like a bad guy. Like, I don't like his face. I don't like his, he also has the biggest tusks I've ever seen. But I'm like, I don't trust this guy. My friend was like, oh, well, I bet he's like, he seems like pretty cool and legit. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you one chance. And then he stabs my favorite king in the back. I'm like, nope, your chance is done. I'm going to, I don't know, like, this is Sparta, you off a cliff. I don't know what's going to happen. But
that was when you realized Zul was a bad dude, when he stabbed Rastakhan.
I was willing to give him a chance. I was like, maybe, like, this is one of those things where I'm like, man, he looks like a bad guy. I'm pretty sure he's going to be a bad guy. I'm like, but maybe I'm wrong this one time. And Zul will wind up being like this, like, kind of okay guy, because he kind of seemed like not trustworthy, because he burned down Stormwind. But like, maybe we allied ourselves with someone that's bad for everyone but us for once, and it just didn't happen. He's bad news bears for everybody.
Well, it's clever what Blizzard did here in a way, because you look at like our history with the Zandalari, and that we work with them in vanilla to take care of some of the troll threats. And then we get to Mists, where the Zandalar are our enemy and we're against them. And basically what they did is they're like, okay, like there's two, it's almost like, you know, there's two faces to the Zandalari. Well, they're, you know, they're a people, so they, mm-hmm. they're, you know, they can have multiple factions. So, okay, so let's have a good faction and a bad faction. And let's just get this war out of the way to sort it out. And so once the Zanchuli Council turns, it's like, okay, like the Zanchuli Council is responsible for all the bad Zandalari stuff we've seen. Like it was all they're doing in Mist of Pandaria and whatnot. And so when we do ultimately wind up allying with Talanji and Rastakhan and, you know, the good Zandalari, as it were, it makes sense because the, you know, all the Zandalari that we were fighting who were bad before, they're still bad. We got the good Zandalari now.
I guess so. I mean, it's one of those things where I kind of always consider the politics of other races kind of their own thing. Like, the Zandalari think, overall, if you talk to all the other troll races, this, the Zandalari always think they're the best. Like, the Zandalari think they know what's good for everyone. And it's kind of clear that they don't. And I agree that, like, now that they've kind of made it, like, black and white, good and evil, like, you're like, oh, yeah, I can see, but the Zandalari are good with us now, like, even though, you know, they might have done unsavory things in the past. It's like, oh, it was all the bad Zandalari. I'm like, in some way, I'm kind of wish they hadn't done that because it gives them a little more flavor. It's like, we don't always accept perfect people into the Horde, but none of us are perfect. So,
well,
I don't know. But it does make it a lot easier from a storytelling perspective for people to just be like, oh, yeah, okay, good Zandalari, bad Zandalari. We can fight people. Then they're our friends and it's all good. So.
Right. So, refresh my memory.
All right.
Because like you were saying, we get to Tal Dazar, mm-hmm. and Razan's not dead yet. We get there and
he's not. He stays alive for all the way till the end of the story arc. So you get there and his temple is being desecrated and that's making him very, very upset. I believe they're like using blood magic on his statues and stuff. Like I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. It's been a while since I've been there. But he has you go and clean up his shrine, and most of his followers have either been murdered or they're captured or what have you. And so you're finally, I think, like, his shrine kind of falls, like, you aren't able to clear it out all the way. But what's funny is then you take this massive Loa, right, the king of the Loa, and he's just, like, hiding out in this little Tortolan, like, area. And so there's all these Tortolans, and you're like, oh, hey, look, it's just, like, this giant king guy. Like, this is fine. I'm like, this seems, like, very unglamorous for someone of his stature just standing around with a bunch of Tortolans. He's like, well, today isn't going as well as I was hoping it would. So you do wind up being able to save Razan, and I believe he's the one that's like, okay, we need to go get more friends because these guys have insulted me personally and this is where it ends. And you're like, oh man, if you insult this Loa, like you guys are going to have a bad time. Also, I love that they're dinosaur Loa and they just like, they're not going to take any smack from anybody. They're like, okay, you make me upset, you're going down. Felt really powerful.
But right.
So I don't remember. Do you remember which one they get next? Is it Gonk or Pakku?
I think you get to choose. You okay. get the quest to get either Gonk or Pakku, and then you can kind of go and okay. You get like the list of quests to go through and work to get everybody.
Okay. Well, I guess if we're going to make it brief, I know that you go to both. You go to both Gonk and Pakku respectively. And I think Warlord Loti and Hexlord Rahl are there respectively as well. Gonk I remember slightly better because I remember there were a bunch of druids around there that were cool that were helping you like take back Gonk's shrine, and Gonk was not happy about having people take over his shrine either, but he goes on the hunt, right? And so he's like he runs off and you're like, oh, can we not run off? Like, Gonk, please don't go out in front of me, like, don't just, he's like, yes, I've got to go hunt, ha ha ha. And I'm like, this is the worst time for you, Loa, to be like, yeah, let's go off one by one and look how strong and cool we are. I'm like, I appreciate it, but I don't want you to die. So thankfully, Gonk is not hurt when he does that. But you find a long trail of corpses behind him. And you're like, okay, all right. Lord of the Hunt, I guess. I guess he can do that. So.
And then how does it go with Paku?
I'm trying to remember Paku. I feel like, if I remember correctly, I feel like she's dropping a lot of the, like, I want to say that she, like, grabs some of the trolls and, like, is dropping them.
Yes.
Because that's what Raoul warns you about. He's like, yeah, if she doesn't like you, she'll pick you up and drop you on hard rocks. And you're like, that's not making me want to go meet her very much. But yeah, so I believe that you are able to get both of them. And once you have Paku, Gonk, and Razan, it's kind of time to go and push to the final temple, the final place of worship. So, and I think if I remember the entire plot correctly, Zul was trying to resurrect the very first king of the Zandalari. What was his name? I forgot what his name is. I can see him. He's like this withered corpse. You can actually see him in game. He's just sitting there. It's a dead guy. He was a warrior. First king of the Zandalari. It was a long name.
It's Dzar, isn't it?
Dzar. Oh, yeah, it is
Dzar. That's why it's a tall Dzar.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I was like, I knew it was going to escape me. But yes, Dzar. I was like, I know there's something I'm supposed to remember. Yeah, so it was Dzar. And I'm honestly not entirely sure why he wanted to resurrect the first king of the Zandalari. Like, I feel like Zul just has a thing for resurrecting dead people, sort of.
I think that's part of it. I think also that's who specifically would be his, like, puppet to take Rastakhan's place.
I think so, but I'm like, why not just, like, I don't know.
I think because it sort of goes with the same thing with the Thunder King. Like, why did he need to resurrect the Thunder King? It's because, like, lineage is important, and so if you resurrect somebody who was king before, then they technically get, like, you know, like Rastakhan loses his credit to the throne because his antecedent is back and now can say, like, well, technically I was king before, I should be king again. So I think it has to do with that more so than any sort of I think, I guess maybe some, like, puppetry kind of thing, like, where, again, he just wants to install somebody that he can control.
I guess so. I just, like, it seems like a cool choice, but at the same time, it's like, why not just kill Rastakhan and resurrect him and use him as your puppet? Like, maybe...
Because Rastakhan... Well, one, I mean, he technically did kill Rastakhan. We resurrected Rastakhan.
That's true. But as far as I understand, trolls can do this resurrection thing almost as many times as they want. Like... They seem to be able to resurrect themselves an ample amount.
I think part of it too is that he needed to take Razan out of the equation is part of the problem. That the whole lineage, again, Razan being the low of the kings, that, you know, he can't fully install his puppet, be it Rastakhan or Dzar, until he takes Rezin out, because Rezin's gonna sort of claim domain over that soul, which is what you saw the issue between him and Bwonsamdi being.
Right. And I believe, as far as I understand, Razan is the one that passes on, he passes on, like, whatever gift it is that he gives the king or queen, because one interesting thing we find out later in the story, because Razan dies, which we know, if you go to the dungeon, you see a very undead looking Razan. When Razan dies, Rastakhan starts to rapidly age because he's over 200 years old. He's been ruling for over 200 years. Right. And so that puts Rastakhan in a very bad spot. It seems that only the ruling leader is immortal, I think, because Rastakhan's wives aren't immortal. And those would technically be queens.
And the other people of the Zandalari aren't immortal. But, it's a direct thing because he's... It's whoever is the ruler, like, that directly falls under Razan's purveyance. And I think Talanji being in line to be ruler would fall under that at some point.
Yeah, that's the thing that's a little ambiguous is, like, she doesn't seem to have, like, she has a very strong connection to Razan, but she doesn't seem to have, like, she doesn't start rapidly aging.
Right. Well, we don't know how old she is, actually. Right.
Yeah, and so that's what's kind of interesting is, like, depending on when she was born... Like, does she have elongated life? Will she start, like, she doesn't say that she's rapidly aging, but also we know that Rastakhan is very old for a troll, so we can assume perhaps that he would age faster even if Talanji was affected by the same thing. She might, like, begin aging a little slower. Say, like, she's 40, but she looks like she's 20, right? So, anyway, I don't think she's been alive for 200 years is what I'm getting at.
No, but anyway, getting back to, so Razan, as you mentioned, everybody's outside of Atal Dazar. Mm-hmm. And then we go in to stop Zul from claiming Dazar's body. And then that's when we walk into the trap.
Yeah, the trap closes and it's one of the most painful traps I've ever walked into because you can kind of see it coming. Rastakhan's like, no, Razan, don't barrel in there. And of course, you know, I love Razan to tears. He's a very well thought out character in that, you know, he's kind of arrogant for Alola. But I mean, you would be if you're the Alola of Kings, right? You think that you're like, oh, I have all this power. I'm so powerful and great. He barrels into the trap. And of course, the trap jaws shut around him. And it closes, like the doors come up and they close Razan in with Zul and Shadra, or not Shadra,
Yasma,
who's now Shadrified, if you will.
Yeah.
Which is, it's creepy and gross. But yeah, so it seems like they actually rip his soul out and then his body becomes all messed up and decayed. And I think his soul gets absorbed. That's kind of what it looks like. It's kind of, I don't know. It's hard to see through all the tears, you know. No, but so that was a horrible loss for everyone. Like all of the Loa are kind of like, oh my gosh, like what did they do to Razan? Like, how could you do this? It's an absolutely barbaric thing. Like the Loa feel like it's barbaric. The rest of the trolls feel that it's barbaric. Like this isn't a way that you treat a Loa's spirit, especially one as powerful as Razan.
Right.
So that was pretty heart-wrenching. But of course, then the second that happens, we're calling for retreat and Rastakhan's like, oh my gosh, I'm aging really rapidly. Like I'm hurting, I'm in pain, this is bad. And you're like, oh my gosh, the king is gonna die again. It's like, I just saved you like not even a day ago. It hasn't even been 24 hours. So it's interesting because when they close the chapter on Zul'Dazar, you're in a panic. Like things are bad and you're like, and you just stop. So then you have to go do the rest of the zones.
Right. Well, the very last thing you do is then at that point, then you go into the Atal Dazar proper as a zone.
Yes.
And, you know, or not as a zone, as a dungeon as rather. A dungeon, and so you go through and that's where you finally put Razan to rest as far as fighting his, you know, his undead reanimated body. And then you also take out Yasma at that point. And that's really where you strike your main blow against the Zanchuli Council. Like Zul is still left. Zul still has power, obviously, but he's gone. He's MIA at that point. He's gone into hiding. Mm-hmm. But he's not, you know, he still has his power over the Zanchuli Council, and the machinations that he's put into place in the other zones have yet to play out.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
So I hear that, and this is me, I haven't finished Nazmir, but I hear that there is a whole like end cinematic that ties all three zones together once you finish them.
Yes, we have.
Okay, and it's kind of weird because I feel like Zul'Dazar should be the last one you do because it feels like, in a way, like, think about it. Because he's like, oh, by the way, Razan's dead. And you're like, oh, but hey, don't worry, Talanji. We're going to go out and hang out in Nazmir for a while your dad is rapidly aging and dying.
The problem is that they all fit together. Like you kind of do all the zones at the same time, basically. Yeah,
I think so.
So it really doesn't matter what order you do them in, because I see what you're saying, but the stuff that happens, I'm thinking of Voldoon, like what happens there, like that, it's the three pieces coming together. And then that cinematic just, it's kind of the reverse, what I was saying earlier. Like what I like about Nazmir is like, it's all the, you know, you go around, you help all these people and you put them together. The end thing there is basically like the bad guys like kind of help each other and then they get them together. And then it's like the reverse of that. So you'll see it. You'll understand.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. Cause I think Zul'Dazar has been my favorite zone so far. It's really tough though. Cause they're all very good. Like there's NPCs that are unforgettable in every zone. There are stories. Like, I love the fact that I got to personally help Rastakhan and stick his soul back in his body. Cause I'm like, you and me are friends now. Like, you cannot get around this. I'm like I require a Christmas card from you because I saved you and I stuffed your soul back in your body, Rastakhan. So but, Nick's giving me a face.
No, don't talk about that. I'm just saying, like, I'm surprised you didn't mention the one quest chain that I thought you would definitely mention.
What?
Which is where you're over off in the, where you have to breed some of the dinosaurs. And in particular, there's the two Brutosaurs that you have to get to mate.
Of course, and, with the goblin right. And the troll lady. Oh, goodness. I was trying to remember what her name is. Yes.
Yeah. And they're arguing like the ones like, here, we're going to use nature magic and kind of like just let nature take its course. And yeah, then the goblin's like, no, I'm going to make this ray that's going to shrink, and then they'll do whatever. And you wind up having to like do some combination of both to get the Brutosaurus to breed after you shrink the male for whatever reason. Oh, I don't understand.
That was one of the best parts, though. Like the male was super tiny. They're like, oops, like the male's tiny, but they seem to be fine with it. No, so that was a lot of fun, that one. And then I thought you were going to originally reference the breeding grounds for the breeding and training grounds for all of the dinosaurs that the Zandalari have. I'm trying to remember what the outpost is called. That outpost that has the goblin there. It's like, hey, look at me. Like, I'm a hotshot guy. We're going to make this. Well, it's not a Triceratops, but we're going to make the direhorn. We're going to make this little baby direhorn into a giant big direhorn. By injecting it with random stuff. No, it'll totally work. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And then it doesn't work.
I need to go back and check to see if there's like another quest to follow up there, because I feel like that quest line should have ended with you getting that direhorn as a pet, and like that didn't happen.
There is follow-up quests. You can do them as 120, but I haven't been back there so much.
But
I guess his dinosaur's body is... Okay, so Spanky Hunter says that his dinosaur's body is there. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you can fix it. Unless the goblin really messes up, which it sounds like.
Yeah, no, I think that's like, yeah, you can go back and at some point he'll come back. Like, yeah, that's not the end of it, I don't think. Unless there's another end sleeping. That I don't know about. Yeah.
Yeah, that's possible. But, so hopefully not Spanky. Hopefully, hopefully our little direhorn is still all right.
It's not like Garrosh where the corpse is just left out there inanimate for us to go and check out as a monument going forward. Ooh. But. Yeah, but then also we do have Nessingwary in the zone.
I did not do Nessingwary, to be honest. I probably should. Oh, okay.
Well, then I won't.
No. Go ahead, because I.
Well, no, it's.
I know. I hear it's better. Like I saw. I'm sorry. Every time I see Nessingwary, it's like a knee jerk. I'm like, nope, not gonna do it. Don't like Nessingwary. I'm tired of it. I'm not picking out more cherries out of poop of any kind. I'm just not gonna do it. Actually, I'm not sure that was Nessingwary, but he's always like, go kill 10 of these. Now go kill 20 more. Did you also get all the Stranglethorn pages? Can you go kill 20 more of these things and then go kill the biggest thing? I'm like, oh my god, if I never have to look at your face ever again, Hemet Nessingwary, I never want to see you again, ever.
And he was a hunter follower, which is just like, I mean, it makes sense, but at the same time, like,
it really doesn't, though. I'm like, dude, you murder all the animals I'm trying to tame, you jerk.
Well, it's, you know what it is? It's like every few expansions, like, you know, because he was in what? Burning Crusade and Vanilla.
He's been
and
in
then
everyone.
No, but then in Wrath, you get, you meet Detta, and then, like, they Depo, actually I have think? You, yeah, they actually have you, like, killing a bunch of his lackeys. And then he was in what? He was in Mists, and he was in Warlords, and he was in Legion. And then, like, Legion was a follower, so he wasn't quite so bad, but he was still annoying. But now again, this kind of feels a lot more like the Detta quest chain where he gets a little bit of his comeuppance.
Well, that's good. Cause like, he's basically an extinction event. Like, I just don't like this guy, but, I don't know. So yes, I have had people tell me I need to go play it. I'm going to go play it. I'm glad to hear that he kind of gets what's coming to him, and I hope some dinosaurs eat him or something.
It's not that much. Dang. They're not killing him. He's not they're not getting rid of him as a character. He's too valuable.
He's not valuable. He's so annoying
as a quest giver. Yeah, but anyway, so Nessingwary's out there, and I'm trying to think if there's any other quest hubs worth mentioning.
I'm trying to think of it too. There's a lot of like little fun little quests they have all over the place. There's Johnny. You can find her out in the zone, which is really fun.
The Zocali.
Yes. And there's a lot of fun little things that they have you do all over the place. I really enjoyed the zone. It's really pretty. If you haven't played it for some reason, somehow, definitely go do it. So.
Yeah, no, highly recommended. I mean, they're all good zones. I think I don't think there's a bad leveling zone. I think I said that before. I can't remember the last time there was a bad leveling zone.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's definitely a good story. And especially as far as the Horde story goes, this is, you know, whether this is the first, second, or third chapter you play through, it's they're all crucial chapters. But it establishes itself as being important. So so next time we'll do Nazmir then.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think so.
Maybe not next time, but like the next time we get back to the story, We'll do Nazmir. Right. So yeah, when let me know when you finish that zone, then we'll talk about it. Right.
All right.
All right. So any final thoughts? Because I think we're at about an hour.
Yeah, I don't think so. So I'm going to say it right now. I think Zul Desire is my favorite zone. I do love NPCs in other zones, but I think from the aesthetic, working with the Loa, like the story, this one was super on point, and it seems to lead really well right up into all of the stuff. It just seems more urgent so far, but it's very cool.
So. Yes. Yes. So highly recommended. So all of that said, this has been the Torn and the Goblin number 55 on Zul'Dazar. So thank you to Jarrett for producing and editing this. Thank you everybody in the chat room. I know we had Spanky Hunter hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
Also got Banana Nanon, Commander Root, Positivity Bot, Skinny Seahorse, Stokool, and Virgo Praz. Thank you everybody for hanging out there in the chat room. And thank you for listening, everybody listening at home. We are at Torn Goblin on Twitter, also at MTB site, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, youtube.com/mashthosebuttons. Katie, where can people find you?
At HyruleMaster77 on Twitter, and you can also find me on the Three Goblins in a Trench Coat podcast at Three Goblins on Twitter.
And I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me on WoW Talk and also on the MashCast here on the Mash Those Buttons Network. You can join the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord. It's discord.me/mashthosebuttons. And you can email us at torngoblin@mashthosebuttons.com. Let us know if there's any topics you want to hear about, if you have any thoughts on what we said about Zul'Dazar or any other zones. Or let us know what zones you're enjoyed in Battle for Azeroth, as it were. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us out, please share it and rate it if you can. And stay tuned to hear about our other shows on the Mash Those Buttons Network. Our next episode is scheduled to record on Twitch live on twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons on October 24th at 10:30 p.m. That's a Wednesday. That's not our usual Wednesday. BlizzCon's coming up next week already, so we're recording a week early. We should have a special guest. The Worgen's Howl should be on mm-hmm. there. So Frosty and Kaz?
Yep, that's right. I'm excited to see them.
So we'll have them. Yeah, we'll be talking about something.
I'm pretty sure we're going to do a Worgen episode.
It's going to be a Worgen episode. All right, cool. I'll be playing a lot of my Alliance Worgen in preparation for that then. So, but as
a Donaeus party.
Yes, but as usual, keep an eye on Twitter for any scheduling updates. That was especially pertinent with this episode since we're recording a few days later than we normally do. So all of that said, for Katie, I'm Nick. Ancestors watch over you.
Time is Hollow's End, friend.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you for choosing a Mash Those Buttons podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to subscribe to one of our shows, you can find us on multiple podcast platforms across iOS and Android. Just search for the show on a podcatcher like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts and hit subscribe. If you can't find us on your favorite podcast platform of choice, just go right to the mashthosebuttons.com website, grab the RSS feed, and put it into your podcatcher of choice. If you want to check out some other podcasts you may enjoy, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com/shows. For World of Warcraft fans, we have two podcasts, WoW Talk, which is our news and community podcast, and The Torn and the Goblin, which is our lore and story podcast. If you enjoy Overwatch, make sure to check out Watchpoint Radio to keep up with the latest on Overwatch and its community. If you enjoy fighting games, make sure you check out Double Tap for the latest in the FGC. If you're a fan of The Division or looking forward to The Division 2, make sure you check out Sit Rep Radio. If you want to keep up with the latest at Mash Those Buttons, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mtbsite. facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, and youtube.com/mashthosebuttons. We'd also like to have you join our Discord community, so just go to discord.me/mashthosebuttons and join us for a chat. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.